I thought I'd start by... Does that sound right? my background or experience with Holy Spirit, just a little bit. I was born again in March 1976. It's a good year, that was.
It was.
It's a very good year.
Yeah.
Same year that Callie was born again, wasn't it? Same month. There you go, same month. Good vintage. So a friend had told me, a friend at work, well, my best pal at work, he told me about his brother-in-law and how his brother-in-law had been in this really bad car crash and crushed his leg and was walking about with a caliper thing, a brace and a built-up shoe, and, you know, lost his job, and life really fell apart for this guy. But then God met him, and God healed him, and he straightened his leg, and he lengthened it, and put it all back together so that he could just wear normal shoes, and he could go back to work, and life just changed for him. And I thought, wow, that sounds good. Really, you know, I hadn't really had any sort of much school assemblies and songs of praise, really, and that was about it. So this seemed totally different and a lot more exciting. Well, anyway, a week or two later, I was married then, and I had a little boy, and he fell downstairs and he broke his leg. He was taken into hospital, and that evening, my friend asked if I'd go to this Christian meeting where this other guy got healed, and, you know, just to see if what God might do. So I thought that sounded pretty good. So I went there, and there was about 60 or 70 people, and partway through the evening, they decided to pray for my little lad, and everybody held hands. This is the first meeting I'd ever been to, right? So they all hold hands and pray in the name of Jesus for healing. And it was like, I thought somebody plugged me into the electric power socket. It was like, burning all up my arms and across my chest. I thought, whoa, what's this? You know, because I hadn't got any framework for it, but I felt it. I thought, well, something's happened. So I went back to the hospital the next morning, and the doctors had just done another x-ray to check that they set his little bones right, and they couldn't find any breaks. You find any? So they thought somebody made a mistake. Well, obviously Jesus knew what he was up to. So it was. I'd felt the power of God. I'd seen Jesus heal my son. And so, obviously, as you can imagine, I had a lot of questions. And so for a couple of weeks, the guy that had been healed, he came round to my house every night and just answered questions. It's amazing. It's brilliant. And then 3 weeks later, I was baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was like kingdom of darkness, kingdom of God. Well, and it was an encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit together. That got me. You know, it was that demonstration of power and love and everything. And then it causes questions to be asked. So, fortunately, I joined a house church in, this is up in Bath, and that encouraged the gifts of the Spirit, encouraged the Holy Spirit. So, over the years, I had lots of Holy Spirit adventures. And one notable one was like a Holy Spirit upgrade came in 1994. Because it did. It was like a total upgrade. In 1994, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that started in Toronto that came to our church in Bath. And wow, that brought the missing bit for me, because I'd fallen in love with Jesus and I'd fallen in love with the Holy Spirit, but Father God was a little bit in the background. But the Toronto, what the message, if you like, the core message of that outpouring from Toronto was a message that we've got a loving Heavenly Father. Father God is a loving Heavenly Father. And it's a total revelation of that. And so that sort of quite completed the picture for me. Then I've got the whole Trinity then. Got in love with all of them. And of course, you know, since then, Janet and I have had loads of Holy Spirit adventures and been all over the world having adventures. It's been really great. And I expect more to come. And there's going to be one this morning too, isn't there? So let's start. can I have the first slide, please? In this story in Mark 1, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. He was filled, and then he was led off into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. So John publicly bore witness that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that John had saw the Spirit of God coming upon Jesus in the form of a dove. Wow. And after that, after Jesus had been into the wilderness, been done his... Well, you know what? He didn't go... I don't think he went into the wilderness to be tempted. I'm convinced that he went into the wilderness to let Satan know who was in control. You know, it's like up to Jesus, every human being on this earth, Satan had been able to mess with. All the way up to Jesus, and then Jesus came as the second Adam, and he said, "It stops with me." Whoa. So it was like he was laying the foundations to his earthly ministry. He submitted to God in baptism. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He went into the wilderness and told Satan what you know, he was in control. And then he went out and turned the world upside down, or the right way up, really. And he went out and established the kingdom of God on this earth. Wow. So, do you know what? It was only 3 days. This is like really quick stuff happening here. It was only 3 days after that, slide two, please, that we read in John 2. Yeah, there it is. Oh, that's a lot. Hope you can read that. Jesus was at a wedding. This was the first recorded miracle of Jesus. Jesus was at a wedding with his family and disciples, and the wine ran out. And like any good Jewish mother, she turns to Jesus and says, "Can you sort this out? can you remedy it?" Well, there were 6 large jars of standing there. They were jars used for purification. And Jesus told the servants to fill them with water and then draw some off and take it to the person in charge of the feast. When the jars were poured out, the water turned into the very best wine. Not just ordinary wine, but the best. And so much of it that it was like just like an over-the-top thing. It was like it was more wine than they could ever possibly drink. And it satisfied everybody. So, but I think there was much more to this miracle than just supplying wine to wedding guests. Much more to it than just Jesus flexing his muscles and showing his power and authority and his greatness. I think this was a lovely picture of the day when he would ascend to heaven, having completed his earthly ministry, and that the Holy Spirit, the wine of the Holy Spirit, will be poured out on the earth so that we can carry on doing what Jesus was doing. He needed to go. Holy Spirit needed to come. And it's like he's passing the baton on to us. was also a picture of him going to the cross as well, and his blood being poured out for us, for our salvation, and our reconciliation with God. So there's like two pictures in that, I think. So it's like right at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, he was saying, I know where I'm going. This is where I'm going. I'm going to Pentecost. That's, you know, I'm going past the cross. I'm going to the cross. But then I'm going on to Pentecost, and then I'm handing it over to you guys. Wow. That's exciting, isn't it? It's a bit awe-inspiring, really. You think, wow. But, you know, Jesus was so... I don't know. I think everything we read about what Jesus said and did, I think it's there for a purpose, isn't it? It's not just chit-chat. It's there to instruct us and to show us things. Next slide, please. Oh, that's quick. Before Pentecost in Matthew 28, this is Jesus, the risen Jesus, right? He'd done the cross. He was risen. He commissioned us to go and wants us to go out and connect with people and to show them his love and to show people his kingdom. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants us to go out and get people. See, Jesus has all authority. He can do anything. He chooses to share that authority with us. And also in there, it says here, lo, I am with you always. It's like he's always with us in this. Yeah, we're never going to be stranded. He's with us always. And really, that's the only way that we can ever fulfill that Matthew 28 commission, is by going out with Jesus in his power and authority. It's very hard to do it without. Next slide, please. But after that, the very, very, very last thing that Jesus ever said to his disciples, which was immediately before his ascension, was he commanded his followers not to depart from Jerusalem, don't go yet, but to wait for the promise of the Father. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Including Truro, isn't it? We're close to the end of the earth. Good. We're not the end of the earth. That's in Penzance, isn't it? So Jesus tells us what to do, go make disciples. And he shows us how to do it. That's the way he did it. He submitted to God, baptized, filled with the Spirit, went out and told Satan what's what, and then went out and established the kingdom of God. And all he's saying is, just do the same as I did. Do it the same way as I did. It works. Wow. So, like, it's a two-part process, I think. It's like at the cross, Jesus reconciles us to God so that we become alive in our spirits to the things of God, and we start getting an interest in the kingdom. And Pentecost fills us with the power to live the Christian life. Makes a difference, doesn't it? So, next slide. It's the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a historic event. It did happen. There was a day when Pentecost happened. But Pentecost, I believe, should be an everyday experience for us. Even like multiple times a day, really. Whenever we need help or inspiration or guidance or anything in life, ability to do things, turn to the Holy Spirit. In that scripture, it talks about, Matt read it, didn't he? Tongues of fire. a mighty rushing wind. Two ways in which the Holy Spirit was described there. And tongues of fire to me speaks of passion and boldness and anointing. And you know, it's like in Matthew 3, John the Baptist prophesied that Jesus would be baptized with Holy Spirit and with fire. And then there's the mighty rushy wind, rushing mighty wind. John 3:8, Jesus says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot see where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Next slide, please. In other places in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is described in different ways, and each brings out a different aspect of the Holy Spirit and his character and function. So, we've done tongues of fire and rushing wind. A dove. Wow. As in Mark 1, when Jesus was baptized, you know, the dove came on Jesus, and I'm so thrilled that it was a dove. Because if you think back to the Old Testament temple sacrifices, they would bring sacrifices, sin sacrifices, burnt offerings and that. And the wealthy people would burn cattle and things, or sheep or goats or whatever. But the poorest people would sacrifice doves. And it's like, that is so neat, because to me that just says Holy Spirit's for everyone. No matter how poor, you know, we feel inside, no matter how undeserving, Holy Spirit's there for us. It's accessible to us. Breath of God. I love this one. Breath of God. Whoa. You know what? You know how close God wants to get to us? In Genesis 2, God breathed eternal life into Adam's nostrils. So he came up to Adam. Is Adam here? And he said, he got that close? It's like, do we want a God that close? We want a God that gets that close? To breathe up our nose? To breathe life into us? It's like, he wants to connect with us so closely. Wow. Woo. Oh, that's a good run. Life-giving water, Ezekiel 47. Wherever the river goes, there's life, it says. Wherever the river goes, wherever the Holy Spirit river goes, there's life. It's a given. It's, you know, nothing can die. There's life and health and wholeness and energy and all that stuff. Wine, how about wine or new wine? Ephesians 5. Matt read this one too, didn't you, Matt? Don't be drunk with wine, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, Peter stands up and he says, "For these men are not drunk, as you suppose." But, you know, really, if you think about how Peter's boldness there in Acts 2, but a couple of chapters earlier, he was around the fire. And the people came in and said, "Oh, you know him, don't you? You know that Jesus. You're one of his followers, aren't you?" And he was saying, no, I don't know him. No, that's not me. You know, like, real, little scaredy. And yet, when he's filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a transformation and there's a boldness that comes upon him. Oil of joy. Wow, that's just a good one. Hebrews 1, verse 9. "Your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." Wow. I read a story about shepherds in the olden days there. There was flies that would lay their eggs up the sheep's nostrils and sometimes in their eyes. This is a great story. This is a boy's story, right? And their eyes and their ears, and that was bad enough. But then when the eggs hatched out into little grubs, they start wriggling around all up in their nose and that, and it would drive the sheep crazy. So the sheep would sort of bang their heads on walls and trees and everything, and they could kill themselves because they were so tormented. And the shepherd would just cover the sheep's head with oil, anoint his head with oil. And obviously that suffocated all the little eggs and the larvae and that. And the peace would come back to the sheep. And I love that because I think, yeah, you know, every time I'm feeling stressed or anxious or, you know, you get torments and serious, like, torments and paranoia and all sorts of stuff that can just drive you to distraction. But the Holy Spirit oil is a soothing oil that comes and brings peace. Comes and brings peace. It's wonderful. Streams of living water. Wow. John 4. Just like Jesus promised the Samaritan woman he was talking to at the well, where he said, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you'd ask me for streams of living water. We want streams of living water to flow out of us, don't we? Living, clean water so that, you know, we can wash others with God's word and his purity and that. We've got healing leaves. That's a nice one. Revelation 22. By the side of God's river, there's a tree of life, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. And we can just, if we're ill in any way, we can just pluck a few leaves off and have a little munch and find healing. And then there's the river of God's blessing and life itself. And this is a river that flows. So you can see there it goes. Genesis 2 is the first mention of it. Ezekiel 47 is a brilliant description of it, and then Revelation 22. So it goes literally from one end of the Bible to the other. There's this river of life that flows from the throne of God, and everywhere it flows, it brings life. Can we look at that? That's it. Wow. You know, this. I love this. There's such a lot. Such a richness in this. But the main thing that I get out of it is relationship and safety. And it's like Jesus takes our hand and he leads us every step of the way into his Holy Spirit. Whether we just are sitting on the bank, or we're paddling up to our ankle deep, or whether we go up to our waist, chest, or even if we're out of depth and we're swimming, the Holy Spirit, wow, it's like we can never be out of control. We might feel like we're out of our depth, and in some ways we are out of control, but if us being out of control means that Jesus is in control, then that's all right, isn't it? So, in a sense, I think God wants us to be out of control. He wants us to go beyond what we can naturally and normally do. He wants us to get to that place of relying on him. Wow. It's like, you know, if you don't turn up, Jesus, I'm sunk. That's a good place to be. But I love the bit where the last little verse there, Son of Man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. It's like, yeah, he can pick you up back on the riverbank. But it speaks of relationship. It speaks, you know, it's like God breathing into Adam's nostrils. It's like he wants to get close to us. He wants to hold us. He wants to stay close to us. And really, the Bible is full of relationships, isn't it? The Bible is about human beings relating to God and that interaction, and it's about human beings relating to other human beings. It's everywhere. And some of them work, some of them don't work. But they're all there for our instruction. See, the Holy Spirit, the more Holy Spirit we have, the it's like it draws us to relationships. It draws us closer to relationships, because without the Holy Spirit, relationships can be a bit scary, and they can actually be the place where a lot of us get most hurt. And we need the Holy Spirit in our relationships. Next slide, please. Because benefits, or the fruits of the Holy Spirit, are in Galatians 5 there. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, or the benefits of the Spirit, help in our relationships. It's like, you know, relationships without love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you take those out of relationships, it's pretty awful, really. Next slide, please. So this scripture in Luke 11 tells us that God is a very good Father, and he loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You know, it's like here, bread, fish, eggs. You know, bread, fish, eggs, they nourish our bodies. But the Holy Spirit nourishes our soul and our spirit, and empowers us, just like that food empowers us to go and live. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live that spiritual life. See, the disciples at Pentecost, they said yes to Jesus, and they didn't go. They could have just gone, but they said yes to Jesus, and they waited. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, and guess what? 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. Logistical nightmare. Hannah would be really stretched with that one. It's like, well, we haven't got enough chairs. Oh dear. You cope. Yeah. Beanbags for everyone. Yeah. But it's like 3,000. Can you imagine? I mean, even if we had 500, 3,000. Wow. You got to change everything, the way you're doing everything. You. One day. Wow. Just by being obedient and waiting for the Holy Spirit. Wow. So if we follow that, next slide please, yeah. That model that Jesus showed us right at the beginning, the one that he did and the one that he told the disciples to do. If we just do that, submit to God, yeah, submit our lives to him, let him be in control. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, so that we can stand against the devil and his schemes. And then we can extend God's kingdom. So we're extending God's kingdom. We're going from a place of rest and security in God. We're not going on our own strength. We're going submitted to God, filled with the Spirit. Oh, wow. Overpowering the enemy. Then we can go, and who knows what would happen. And he's affected the whole of history. 3 years. Amazing. But next question. What do we want? What do we want from the Holy Spirit today? Yeah. Wow. Do we want the dove to make its home in our hearts, maybe for the first time? Yeah, some of us might want that for the very first time. Wow. And he'll do that. Do we want his breath of life to fill us with hope and energy? And have we got enough courage to let God get close and breathe his life into us? Do we want that oil, that soothing, anointing, calming oil that brings joy and peace and comfort? Do we want the living water? Do we want cleansing and purity inside? Do we want health and wholeness? Do we want new wine? Do we want joy and freedom? Do we want passion? Do we want the fire, the passion for the gospel, boldness and anointing? Wow. Do we want the mighty rushing wind? Yeah, Barney wants the wind. Oh, you've got the wind. Okay. But it's like, you know, to be led by the Spirit. To think, I think God wants me to go here. No, He wants me to go over there. He wants me to do this. Oh, yeah. Just like that little antennae up. Whereas, you know, because Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying to people. It's like Jesus had got his antennae up. And although he was baptized in the Spirit, you know, when he was baptized with John the Baptist, he would often go off on his own, reconnect with Father, get filled again with the Spirit, just connect with his dad and just commune and be and find out where he should go next, you know, what he should do. Do we want the streams of living water to flow out of us so that we can be a blessing to others? And we can bring that to other people. Do we need some of the healing leaves from the tree of life that sits by the river? We need healing. Wow. Or do we just want to go and float down the river of life? Just get on a lilo and just go off and go out into the river and see where it takes us. Gives us a future, gives us a hope. It gives us his direction in our lives and not our own. And the great thing, the wonderful thing, is we can ask for more than one. Yeah, we can ask for us. We don't just stick to, we can. And you know what? What we need from the Holy Spirit can change from day to day, even like from minute to minute. You know, we might want a healing leaf 1 minute, but then we might want the oil to calm our thoughts and to keep us, just chill us a bit. Whatever it is, it's there for us. Because the Holy Spirit is inexhaustible and limitless. Totally limitless. Because it's not just for us. It's for us to make a difference in this world. It's us to be able to relate with people without getting bent out of shape by stuff. You know? Wow. So if we just think of it as a selfish, it's me getting nice goosebumps and tingly stuff, that's missing the point. The thing is, when the Holy Spirit touches our bodies, to be honest, I think the amount of power that there is in the Holy Spirit, I think it's a miracle that we don't all just fry up in, you know, little piles of dust on the floor. It's like, I think the Holy Spirit is being very gracious in just making us giggle or wobble or cry or whatever. So let's drink from Jesus well. Next slide, please. Let's drink from his well, breathe his breath. Let's go deep into his river of life and healing. Let his passion ignite a fire inside of us that propels us out to do stuff.